thieves are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this great day. Your grace and your mercy has allowed us to see again. Thank you, O God, for the week that ended yesterday. We appreciate your blessings, your protection, your favor, your mercy, your healing, your provision, your strength, and all that you did for us. We want to ask that you will forgive us our failures also and shortcomings, and let all our sins come under your blood. Thank you for bringing us to church. We thank you, God, for the blessings already in the Sunday school. Thank you, God, for the worship service. We thank you for special numbers. We are grateful unto you. We commit the rest of the service into your hand. We ask that you help us and bless us one more time. We are not asking for your blessing only for this place. Wherever the saints are gathered in like manner, may you bless them also. Be with your servant and be their strength. Inspire and anoint them and give them unction of your spirit. Remember your servant in quarrel, Lord, the evangelist. We pray that you will strengthen him again and sing through the services. Lord, the one that I've gone to represent your servant in Bakatari, may you be with him and be his help also. Thank you, dear Father. Lord, the entire day is your hand. May you have the preeminence. At the end of this service, may we all have every cause to rejoice and praise your wonderful name. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Without my guardian, I'm my guide. Hear me when I call. Don't let my slippery footsteps slide. And hold me, lest I fall. Yeah.
keep watch within and save my soul from ruin. Still me ever watch and pray and feel that I am across my way, yet he may not prevail.
The Lord bless you. Before we read the scripture, let me just read this one quote here. This is Laodicea Church Age. From where the bride is smitten out from. The worst of all the ages. All the demons are accumulated here. Nevertheless, the power that God released to combat the power of the enemy is equal to the task. Yoruba has a proverb that from inside a black pot, white power come out. The wickeder the age, the stronger the word of God is powerful to bring out
the word.
Just want to read one paragraph from where has their strength gone? Samson. Paragraph 91. Where has their strength gone? Samson. 1959, July 2nd.
1959.
Now the prophet said, I know these courts. I know these courts.
Okay.
Paragraph 91.
Okay,
now it's on this.
Okay.
I know these courts. It's hard. Don't like to do this. Your people, Pentecostal dollars feed my children. Pentecostal dollars feed my children. Pentecostal dollars takes me around the world to preach to the
heathen.
I love you. But that is the reason I scold you and carry on the way I do. When I see the word coming in, I'm zealous. If I see my wife flirting with another man, you will see me get after her right quick. Well, may not be that the right
one.
Because you say my book with you. That's not what that means.
Okay.
He will frown against it. No, he will stand up to it. Look, you can't do like that. And that is right. Because I love her. When I see the church begin to flirt with the word, it rises something within me. I can't stay still. I got to say something. You can call me what you want to, I just got to let it out. I'm jealous of the church. I don't want her entangled with the world. God forbid that she will ever get entangled with the world. Let us stay free. If she has to worship in Tingpan Alley, as long as God is free in this, as long as she's free in the spirit, let her alone. Some years back, me and some ministers went to hold revival in the village. I preached on the God of jealousy. Christianity is different from worldliness, from other religions.
Christianity is
different from Christianity in its broader sense. Everybody that calls themselves a Christian, nominal, Catholic, Pentecostal, everything together, they are still the largest in number in all the religions of the world, followed by Muslims.
Then
you have others like Hindus and other small ones like that. We have the traditionals, though they have a projection that if the world continues, that Muslim will be more than the Christians. That's a projection in statistics. It could be because it's the easiest religion. Right. The Lord bless you. So we are back to church. And we just want to continue with the shall we rise on our feet? Isaiah chapter 14. From verse 12. Alright. How art thou fallen from heaven, O
Lucifer,
son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground with this weakened the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. I think we stop. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verse 1-4. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he has got seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13-15. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan sits, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat and sacrifice unto idols, and to commit fornication. So as thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. May the Lord add this blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of His word. God bless you. You can please be seated. Last week, we moved a bit further from where we reached previously. And where we stopped the other week, penultimate week, was where Constantine came into mingle with the church, the first church of Rome, meaning that he has a great battle ahead of him as the emperor. And he had a dream, seen a white cross, and he believed that is as an omen, a sign, that if the Christians will pray for him, that he will overcome. And which they did, and he overcame. And because of this, he has promised them freedom. Because before that time, it had been that emperor over emperor were tormenting Christians. Until the people are seeing it, that's not normal. It's getting abnormal. Then Constantine came in, and then he granted them the freedom according to his promise, but he still did not end there, because with the first church united with the government, they were not satisfied, seeing some people seemingly worshipping God still in the truth, and they see them as holier than thou people. They see them as fanatics. They see them as people that must come back and let them be the same way. Though Constantine as a person, because he now became the patron of the first church. So when he saw that the two sides are having differences, he called for a meeting, which happened to be the ecumenical move, the beginning of the ecumenical move, in 325 AD, his thought was that he was going to bring the two churches together to iron out their differences so that they could be able to see eye to eye and move together, which initially the people saw the doctrine of Arius. Arius was the bishop of Alexandria.
Bishop of Alexandria.
And he had a teaching that Jesus was a lesser being from God, being that God created him. The beginning of establishing Trinity. Where we have the Western Church, as the history put it, who was still holding that Jesus Christ is the very essence of God. And initially, the first of all said that the doctrine of Arius was wrong. But probably it didn't last more than 2 years when they revert that thought or decision. And they go by the way of this Trinity line. And the prophet told us that this particular age of Pergamos, he said that the church and the state were now interwoven and thoroughly married, blend together. He confirmed God's foreknowledge. God knows that that will happen at that time, because the word Pergamos itself means thoroughly married. And therefore, the Babylonian religion gained prominence, and it became the government official church. And the prophet said that Satan was enthroned as the god in worship. And the first church, being that they are with the government, they inherited the biblical buildings. Yes, all the biblical things they were, they inherited marble altars. We also have marble altars here, but this one to us it doesn't mean anything. This was a donation. And the people that narrate it does not have a control about what we believe or what we preach. When they sit down, if they sit down, they will hear the same preaching. Yes. And even if they say that, if this is what I got to do, we will come and remove our pulpit. We still have the woody one that we are using before. It's still fine. We'll restore it. Yeah, so this one does not mean nothing. Alright. I'm not saying that the people will do such a thing. I'm just making a point. Yeah. And then the prophet told us of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Brought it in. You know, you hear of pagan Rome and you hear of Papa Rome. Rome was an idol worship. Idol worshippers. It was when Christianity went to Rome, and then it was now perverted. And we now have church backing, I mean, government backing the church. And that is the church that the government now recognizes. That is when Rome crossed from being a pagan Rome and then cross to be a Papa Rome. And the prophet said that is the prophecy or the symbolic prophecy or expression that we have in Revelation 13:3. That the beast has his wounded, head wounded unto death. One of his heads as it were wounded to death. That is the downfall of the pagan Rome. When the idols they were worshipping were, the eyes of many of them were seeing that these are no gods. So therefore, they now begin to know that Christ is the real God that should be worshipped. But when Satan came in also and entered the church through politics and amalgamation and things like that, that is now where again that church, the earth that was wounded revived. Now as Papa Rome, as religious Rome, bring that flash that verse again. And his deadly wound was healed. The healing of the deadly wound was the reviving of Rome into religion that make Rome again to gain prominence in the world. The downfall of Rome as pagan was the wounding of the head. But the healing of the head is the reviving of the religion in Rome, which they headed now for false religion. Do we understand to this point? I have not received any questions since I started this something. Any point you have a question, write. Like I said, I make a final review when we finish. So now the prophet now used this to go and... Is it... Sorry, just release it back. Before I... See, and all the world wandered after the beast. You know, like we went last Sunday, that Rome now, through the Vatican, is now a place to look at in the entire world, from the entire world, as a point of reference. Like when this present Pope was installed, President, Vice President, and things from all over the world, they came to the place, which was just in a city of Vatican. And we also said that that city, which is just a city inside another country, every country in the world, they have one ambassador they send out to every country. So Italy as a country, they send out two ambassadors, one from Rome, which is the capital, and then one from Vatican, which is the religious capital of the world. Right. Now, the prophet, we went through the dream of Nebuchadnezzar that was interpreted by
Daniel.
And this dream show four world powers that will come in succession.
The
head of gold, He breaks an arm of silver.
Ati ebeo ati ono ti aya ati apa ati fataka.
The belly and thigh of iron.
Ikun ati tan.
No, of brass.
Ati ti de.
And then the legs of iron.
Ku ese ti ni.
The feet.
Ati atelese.
Part of iron.
Kuje abala.
Part of clay.
Ati abala mo.
Nebuchadnezzar slept one day
and
had that dream. Not the way some of you are sleeping now. It was a sleep, he slept in the night. Not yes, he slept in the night and woke up. So when he woke up, he knew he had a dream. A huge image. And said the visage was terrible. But when he woke up, he forgot how actually it was. But the effect of the dream left fear in him. So he was troubled. And normally let me say this. When you have a dream that you wake up, you can easily eat your food, bath, bro, do everything, dress up, go to your place of work, and like, you go to wedding, you go to this one, don't trouble yourself. These people that used to have these dreams, it troubles them and paralyze them from doing anything. They will be troubled until they have the interpretation. If you go read the sermon the prophet preached before, you know, when he was preparatory to the preaching of the seventh seal, SARS, is this the time of the end? The six people that have the dream that the prophet interpreted, when they have the dream, they are always troubled and they want to get to the prophet quickly to tell him their dream. But Nebuchadnezzar has forgotten his own dream and he was looking for interpreter. Unfortunately, the people he has around him, as people that they call wise men, soothsayers, counselors, and so on, they could not interpret anything. They didn't even have access to the dream. The king said he has forgotten. They keep telling him to try and remember and tell us. He said, I forgot it. He said, you have to remember and tell us. He said, if you cannot tell me my dream, how am I sure of your interpretation? Eventually, he gave an order for execution of the people. It was then that Daniel heard. And him and his three brethren, they went in to pray. And the Bible said that the thing was revealed to Daniel in the night vision. And when Daniel came, he told the king the dream and then told him the interpretation. For you to know how the interpretation brought peace and everything to the king and satisfaction, he was contented. All his fear left. A king, it has never been recorded in history that we prostrate to anybody. Not even to a fellow king. They process before they put the crown on their head. Once that crown comes, they don't prostrate. The king, when he had the oath, the scripture said, he fell down before Daniel and worshiped Daniel. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. That is the extent of the satisfaction of the king. When he had the dream and he had the interpretation, he knew that it came from God. And truly it came from God, because God was passing an information to him, and he wanted it recorded in his word as we have it, that there are four governments, four successive powers that will follow each other, and this present one is the first one, which was that of Nebuchadnezzar. He told him, you are the head of God. See, after you, another one is coming that will be inferior unto yours. After that one, another one is also coming that will still be inferior. Then after that one, there has come a fourth one. Ionic disposition. But in glory is less. He said, then the end of that one, it's a continuation. The continuation of that reign is that when he gets to the feet, he's going to have a mixture of clay inside that iron. You can see that feet part. I see the kind of color that is there. Terrible appearance. You don't know what to call it. It's iron and clay mixed together. And the prophet gave us an interpretation. And the prophet said, no, the old head, the old body ends at the feet. After the feet, nothing else. So, and he said, there is going to come, of course, a stone will come and cross the image. He will hit it on the feet, because that's the last something. No, normally it's supposed to come on the head, but this one is coming on the feet, because in the interpretation here, that is the last garment that will be on earth. Then he said it will fall on the feet and cross the image and guard it to powder, that it become like a shaft in the summer floor. You can't see it again, and that stone is going to become a huge mountain upon which a government is established that will have no end. So that is the summary from the time of Nebuchadnezzar to the end of the world and the establishment of the kingdom of Christ.
So
the period of that entire image is referred to by Jesus Christ as the times of the Gentiles. And the prophet said, as we were rounding up last week, he said that the spirit that motivates pagan Rome is the one that is motivating the false Christian Rome today. Which is operating at the feet of the fourth empire.
We have left
the leg of iron now. Rome is not ruling the world in the leg form now. We are at the fifth part. The end of the Roman Empire. But the end of the Roman Empire is Papa Rome Empire. Nobody here know one word from the Emperor of Rome now. Have you ever read any news talking about what the Emperor of Rome said? If you are going to hear anything from Italy, it's what Pope said.
But
that is the Roman Papa. Roman Papacy. God bless you now. So we continue. Here I'm on page 195. Second
quarter.
Once the Nicene Council has swung the power of political Rome to the church, it seems that there were no limits to which the first Christian church will go. Yeah. The name Christian, which originally brought persecution, now became the name of the persecutors. Because that first church of Rome, which is now the Roman Catholic Church, they are the one now that the government now recognizes as Christian. Right, let's go ahead first. It was in this age that Augustine of Hippo, that's between 354 to 430 AD, set forth the precept that the church ought and must use force if necessary. So bring our children back into the fold, and that it was in harmony with the word of God to kill the heretics and apostates. This is the beginning of persecution in a larger form now. In his controversy with the Donatists, he wrote, "It is indeed better that men should be led to worship God by teaching than that they should be driven to it by fear of punishment or pain. But it does not follow that because the former cause produces the better men." Therefore, those who do not yield to it should be neglected. For many have found advantage, as we have proved, and are daily proving by actual experience, in being first compelled by fear or pain, so that they might afterwards be influenced by teaching, so that they might follow out in act what they have already learned in words. Whilst those are better who are guided aright by love, those are certainly more numerous who are corrected by fear.
dájúdájú ju àwọn tí a fi fa ìfẹ́ darí lọ.
For who can possibly love us more than Christ?
Tàbí nítorí ta ni ó lè nífẹ̀ẹ́ wájú Kristi lọ.
Who laid down his life for the sheep?
Ẹni tí ó jọ̀wọ́ ayé rẹ̀ fún àwọn àgùntàn rẹ̀.
Yet after calling Peter and other apostles, by his words alone,
àti àwọn àpọ́sẹ̀ yòókù nípa ọ̀rọ̀ rẹ̀ nìkan.
When he came to summon Paul,
nígbà tí ó wá láti pe Paulu.
He not only constrained him with his voice. He not only constrained him with his voice. But even dashed him to the earth with his power. And that he might forcibly bring one who is raging among the darkness of infidelity to desire the light of the heart. He first struck him with physical blindness of the eyes. Why therefore should not the church use force in compelling our lost sons to return? Did you understand what we are reading? This man first of all said that we know it is good to use love to talk to people and they persuade and the rest of them. Say, but those that are brought in by fear and things, they are the better people. And there are more. And he also went back to the scripture with his own interpretation. That even Jesus Christ himself, he called Peter with his word. He called Nathaniel. He called Philip. He called this one. See, but when he called to Saul of Tarsus, it's not only that he spoke to him, he knocked him on the ground and then blind his eyes. That's the way he brought him. So this man is now saying, so if the church use the same thing, it's why they are following the word Christ did. May God be our help. Then he went further. He said, the Lord himself said, go out into the highways and edges and compel them to come in. Wherefore, if the power with the church, which the church has received by divine appointment in its due season, through the religious character and faith of kings, be the instrument by which those who are found in the highways and edges, that is in heresies and schisms. It is the truth now that is this heresy and schism are compelled to come in. Then let them not find fault with being compelled. This fifipa is not in word. It's in physical assault. Beating. Imprisonment. Suffering. Persecution. And killing. That is what they are talking about. The thirst for blood was growing apace. You see, preaching, as long as it is by word, it's not a force. It's not a force. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that convinces the seed of God. But it is in God's program to preach, to exhort, to instruct, to rebuke. It is in God's program. The prophet mentioned one evangelist that was wanting to hold the revival. He has prayed for some time. Just when he was testing the mic, and he used the word repent or perish. Somebody that was doing something in the, on the ceiling, he fed up from there. Boom! When he had the vibration of that thing, he didn't use force on him. Right. The first vine in Spain now played upon the Emperor Maximus to join in the attack upon the two believers who had the word and the signs and wonders with them. The first vine, they coerced this emperor to join in the attack upon the two believers. And these two believers, they had the word and the signs and wonders with them. Thus, some Priscillianites were brought to Thrace by Bishop
Itapos.
That's in 385. He accused them of witchcraft and immorality, and many were executed. These are false accusations. Martin of Tours and Ambrose of Milan protested this and pleaded in vain for the persecution to cease. When the persecution was prolonged, these two bishops refused to fellowship with Bishop
Aidatos
and others like him. Strange to say, the Synod of Trips approved of the murders. From this time on, especially through the dark ages, we will see the children of the flesh persecute and destroy the children of the spirit. Though both claim one father, even as was in the case of Ishmael and Isaac, the darkness of spiritual corruption will deepen, and the true light of God will fade until, number wise, it glows ever so faintly. Yet the promise of God will hold true. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness can do nothing about it. I don't care what Satan does. Truth remains truth. Truth will prevail. Let the whole world continue to get darkened more, as the Bible said. It was in the midst of darkness and gross darkness, as Isaiah prophesied. He said, arise and shine, for thy light has come. Say, there is darkness on the world and gross darkness on the people. It is in the midst of that darkness and gross darkness that still the truth of God is to shine forth. The prophet gave us an analogy. He asked a question. He said, when does the star shine bright? It's in the night. Now, the stars are in their positions. You can't see them. Why? Because the greater light has faded off their own light. But when the night comes and everywhere is dark, that you needed light to move around, that's when you will see the stars. They will shine like dots where they are. And believers of every age, they represent stars. And they are shining in the midst of darkness. And if there is any time, if there is any age that is dark, it is this age. That's why the prophet preached the message, Shalom. He said that is his New Year greeting in 1964. And it has become the New Year greeting, the New Month greeting, the New Week greeting, the New Day greeting of believers in this our generation. It is Shalom, God's peace be upon them. While the world is in darkness, while the people are in gross darkness, they don't know they are left from their right. They don't know what they are doing. They don't know where they are going. They cannot see who is leading them. They thought that they are under God's leadership, but they are under the leadership of the devil. Gross darkness. And yet, God's children, they are shining. And they don't know. You see, some people believe that it is not possible to live only. You are saying that God does not exist. Because God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And Brother Paul said, follow peace with all men and holiness. He said, without these two, no man can see the Lord. No man means no man shall see the Lord. So if your religion does not give you peace, coexistence with others, does not give you holiness, not just holiness that could be seen, the holiness you are demanding from the physical appearance is that you don't bring reproach. But the real holiness that will give you entrance to God's kingdom, if your belief, if your understanding, if your revelation does not give you that holiness, internal holiness, that make you to live only freely from your acts, without being compared, then you drop that your idea, you drop that your understanding, you drop that your belief or whatsoever, and seek God. Amen. The other day, I put one news that a lecturer was in a race with a girl. The way they used it was in a race. So I was wondering, is it 100 meter race? Or 200 meter? Or 400 meter? Or 600 meter? Or is it country race? He went to go and rent an hotel and check himself and get there. And he has taken enough energy boost to boost his energy to satisfy himself. And from there, he went on to meet God. Mm-hmm. hand. Come and see embarrassment. For the lecturer and his family. I remember one parable the pastor said is making their village. Like a man that cannot see woman and pass.
Say
they will carry him past women. I think I'm correct. Now, up to this time, I have not brought out that point in history that I promised to cover. That is the intermingling of the religion of
Nimrod
and the Christian religion. You will recall that Attalus fled from Babylon to
Pergamos
and set up his kingdom outside the riches of the Roman Empire. He flourished over the years, nurtured by the God of this world. A succession of priest kings followed Attalus until the reign of Attalus III, when the reasons for the reasons known only in the sovereignty of God. He willed the kingdom to
Rome.
Julius Caesar then took both the kingdom physical and spiritual, for he became Pontiff Maximus of the Babylonian religion and was therefore priest king. You see, he has made us priest and king that the scripture spoke about in the book of Revelation. It's not a physical priest and king like that. It is spiritual priest and king. And the prophet gave the interpretation. King reign. As kings, we are to reign over what? Over the world, over the flesh, over sin, over Satan. This is how we reign as kings. Not to go and put crown on top of your head in one environment, whether a village or city, and say priest king. That's how you see denominations today. From pastor, they become king. This title passed on to the following emperors, priest king, until the time of Maximus VIII, of Maximus III, who refused it. According to Stephen's history, it was then that the Pope took the headship the emperor rejected. And today there is still a pontiff in the world. And he is truly Pontiff Maximus. He wears a triple crown and resides in Rome. Now, this is what is behind Catholic Archbishop, Pope, cardinals to wear something on their head.
To wa leyin ti pope cardinal bishop olori bishop ton fi de
the history started from the priest
lati odo alufa
becoming king, or the king also becoming priest.
To di oba tabi oba to da alufa.
And now at a point
lakoko kan
one of them rejected it, but at a point, another one restored it, accepted it, until Pope is now crowned.
So,
you now see Pope crowned. That is why he does not remove his crown on his head in church. Either wear crown or wear his cap. Because he is king and priest. There are so many things we see physically that when you enter inside the message, you understand the foundation of it, how it started to become what it is today. Of course, other churches, there are like some of these other churches like Anglican, some of them, they also have cap
that
they also wear. I'm not sure whether they even know the history of it. In the message, a minister person, I think this year, this year or last year, somewhere, he also used to put cap on his head in the church. But with that cap on his head, when he passed on, of course, Katakata bought in the church. Until in the last just few weeks, he cheated. Arrested the pastor and the elders, locked them up in Kirikiri.
What is one more lady kirikiri
for one full week?
Who did you say?
And they paid through their note before they were even bailed out.
What see now? Who banty banty cutter to leave to one cell?
That is what happens when the foundation is not right. If the foundation is right, it will bear its fruit. Every foundation that is wrong, sooner or later, it will backfire. You have to, when it's not everything that happens that will tell you here, because forget, in every age, the true seed of God, they are in the minority. That is what the prophet said. Always in the minority, very small. The majority are just, they are just a happy go slug like that.
Yeah.
As I said last week, that if you stand at Golo, worldliness will enter in. Brother Abraham has been coming to Shreveport to preach. One time he came. He said, "This is not the church I used to know." He said, "Worldliness have crept inside. Were there no ministers there? There were ministers. But because they did not hold the standard
act."
When we went to Liberia, what made that church? That is the first believing church, message believing church in Liberia. From where all of that churches come
out.
But the main problem that caused the whole thing was because the pastor lowered the standard. People that are not qualified to be officers were made officers. So many people, everybody does what pleases them. Worldliness. Until he got to the state, we met it, that they carry gun to church to shoot themselves, break bottle on each other. Even in our presence, they slap each other in the church after a very hot sermon. Why? You have to be careful. If you do, you don't keep it. Abraham said that he told us of the dream that somebody had, and he was interpreting it. The guy was believing that we should drive the sheep to the valley so that they can. But he said, Brother Abraham was saying we should drive them up, up here like this one. He said, sheep or anything, said, we go to the least, to the way of least resistance. Yes. But the church is to be driven up here where they know each step they take. They will feel it in their muscles. They feel it in their bones. They will know as they are advancing. They will be able to know how they get there. Not the sluggish flow where everything goes. Satan will take over. Amen. He wears a triple crown and resides in Rome. And in Revelation 17, God does not any longer refer to Pergamos as Satan's seat, nor does he say that that is where Satan dwells. No, the throne room is no longer in Pergamos, but it is mystery Babylon. It is not in Babylon, but in mystery Babylon. In other words, you cannot identify the name of this city on the world map except through the scriptures. That statement is deep. Mystery. Now, Babylon was the name of a city that was established by Nimrod. It is known like that on the map. Pergamos is the name of a city. It's known like that on the map. But according to prophecy in Revelation 17, this Satan that started his movement in Babylon, that moved to Pergamos, when that place was his seat, he has migrated. When he migrated to Babylon as if he went back. He did not go back. Where he went to now is not the literal Babylon that we know on map. It is mystery Babylon. And this mystery Babylon cannot be identified on map, on the map, except through the mind that has wisdom, the gift of wisdom. So to be able to locate that seat of Satan, we have to know, have somebody like Daniel that has the gift of wisdom, that has the gift of interpretation, to go and show us with the vindication of the scripture where is mystery Babylon. So if you don't follow that prophet, you will not know where mystery Babylon is. If you go to old Babylon, Satan has left the place. You go to Pergamos, Satan has left the place. Where is Satan? Now, Satan is everywhere, quite alright. But we are talking of the throne of Satan on earth. So this is what we are tracing. Revelation of the man of sin. Brother Paul said, Christ won't come until these two things happen. people will leave the faith. And then the man of sin. The man of sin, who is the son of perdition, will be revealed. God bless you. All right. Let me repeat the last statement. No, the throne room is no longer in Pergamos, but it is mystery Babylon. It is not in Babylon, but in mystery Babylon. It is in a city on seven hills. Its head is Antichrist, for he has usurped the position of Christ, who alone is mediator, and who alone can forgive sins. Yes, Pontiff Maximum is with us today. God bless you.
All of
actually wanted to read this next few. Like I said, we'll take it to page 207. Because there are more informations here that I want to take before we start bringing it to other small things to be sent out. Revelation 2:15. But I think it'll be faster in this one. So ask thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. You recall that I brought out in the Ephesian age that the word Nicolaitane comes from two Greek words, Nikao, which means to conquer, and Lao, which means delayed. Nicolaitane means to conquer delayed. Now, why is this such a terrible thing? It is terrible because God has never placed a church in the hands of an elected leadership which moves with political mindedness. Now, when you read, you must understand. If you don't read the statement complete, half of it will be completely an error. He said, God has never placed his church in the hands of an elected leadership. If you stop there, it's contrary to God's word again. Because God places his church in the hands of elected leadership. But this one is elected leadership which moves with political mindedness. Are you following me? Sometimes one statement sometimes is enough for a sermon. Because it's pregnant with a lot of meanings. But we will not spend a year on it. He has placed his church in the care of God ordained, spirit filled, word living men who lead the people through feeding them the word. You now see that it's still men that he committed the church to. People today, they can cut just that first part of the previous statement and hold it and say, this is the word of Abraham. God does not commit his church to the hands of elected men. So I don't care whether it's elected or not elected. He's a false teacher. He has not separated the people into classes so that the masses are led by a holy priesthood. It is true that the leadership must be holy. But then so must be the whole congregation. It's not only the ministers that are to be holy. It is the whole congregation that is required to be holy. Further, there is no place in the world where priests or ministers or such mediate between God and the people. Nor is there a place where they were separated in their worship of the Lord. And the prophet wants to go to some things. Because he is talking about Nicolaitans here. How that first church separated the people from God. And the leaders stand in between. Until they collected Bibles from their hands. That they cannot read and understand. It has to be them that will read and come and interpret to them. So whatever they now tell them, that is what they must take. That's what led to what we are seeing today. Over the years, these among books that we collect and distribute, let me tell you something. There are churches that don't use to share it to the congregation. You only store it there. Maybe some one or two people that are close by, they don't give to them. The sermon book is meant for everybody to read. If you see, when you are reading, you see something you don't understand, come and ask the pastor. You have a question, come and, or you read something that is contrary to what you are hearing being preached, you must raise a question. That is the logic of the Catholic Church. That is why they were able to bring all the errors to the people, because they severed them from having direct access to God. They told them that they can never read the scriptures and understand themselves. It is the duty of the priest to read it and then to tell them what is inside. It's a lie of the devil. He has not separated the people into classes. I think I've read that one. Further, I've not read that one too. God wants all to love and serve him together. Nicolaitanism destroys those precepts and instead separated the ministers from the people and made the leaders over lords instead of servants. Now this doctrine actually started as a deed in the first age. It appeared that the problem lay in two words, elders or presbyters and overseers, bishops. Though scripture shows that there are several elders in this church, some began, Ignatius among them, to think that the idea of a bishop was one of preeminence or authority and control over the elders. Now the truth of the matter is the word elder signifies who the person is, while the word bishop signifies the office of the same man. Now, it's not wrong. Well, nobody calls themselves bishop now. Abraham in the setting in church of the setting the church in order. He said he is the bishop. that if anything is called into question, come and listen to what I've said. He used that authority for the people to heed what he said. He never go anywhere to introduce himself as bishop. But it's just trying to establish a principle. And he even said, when questions were coming to him, as we have in the COD, he told the deacons that to maintain those orders, if the people are not, maybe assuming it is ignorance, he said they should come and set up this tape before the service. Let the people play, let them hear, so that they will hear his own voice, that I am the one that said it. You are only implementing, you are only executing. Maybe one day too, who rehearse the church order. So that those who believe the prophet will follow the prophet and what he has said. When the prophet set the church in order, ministers, members, the Lebram Tabernacle, and they went to go and form their own church, that they cannot follow that one. They see, once in a while, come to the meeting of the prophet, and Abraham went to go and preach to some of them, because the prophet asked something that they don't have. But majority of those people, when the prophet left, they turned their back fully and established something else completely. Sorry to mention him, such is Junior Jackson. And Omumbori Owo is an offshoot of Junior Jackson. And they are far now from the message.
Let's continue.
Right. The elder is a man. Bishop in the office of the man. Elder always asks and always will refer simply to a man's chronological age in the Lord, not in the church. In the Lord. How did this down? If somebody is long in the church and is not in Christ, is not a scripturally recognized elder. We are not to judge here. I've been to church where on the pulpit a place is separated. Chairs are arranged for the elders. Those elders are old people. The foundation members. No problem. I don't have any problem with that. But we are just following the message. Even in Abraham's meetings, when there is no seat in the audience, you even say some sisters can come and sit on the platform. So where you sit does not matter. It doesn't matter. Was Edgar in the Lord? He's an elder. Not because he is elected or ordained, but because he is older. He is more seasoned. Trained. Not a novice. Reliable. Because of experience and long-standing proof of his Christian experience. Not church experience or political experience. But no, the bishop did not stick to the epistles of Paul, but rather they went to Paul's account of the time he called the elders from Ephesus to Miletus in Acts 20. In verse 17, the record states, elders were called. And then in verse 28, they are called overseers, bishops. And these bishops, no doubt, political minded and anxious for power, insisted that Paul had given the meaning that overseers were more than the local elder with official capacity only in his own church. To them, a bishop was now one with extended authority over many local elders. Surely, a concept was neither scriptural nor historical, yet even a man of the stature of Polycarp leaned towards such organization. That is why he was not chosen as the messenger of this
age.
Thus, that which started as a deed in the first age was made a literal doctrine, and so it is today. Bishops still claim power to control men and deal with them as they desire, placing them where they so will in the ministry. This denies the leadership of the Holy Ghost, who said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work we are unto, I call them." This is anti-world and anti-Christ. Matthew 20:25-28 said, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Also Matthew 23:8-9 say, but be not ye called
Rabbi,
for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. They have their reverend fathers. Like yesterday, I greeted one minister.
See,
right reverend. The right reverend.
Bataki.
I said it up to three times. Because he came with his white collar. The right reverend. Everybody will answer for themselves.
Okaluku ni o da fun ara.
One time, only one time, that Brother Abraham had to put on that white collar was because it was a requirement at an embassy where he has to go for visa interview. And they snap his picture. We have a copy. So when the people see the thing, they say, see, I'm not. So one can buy it. One can use it. Rabran bought it. He used it. Go and buy it and use it. Oh my. If you see interpretations today, that people put there, just to suit what is in their mind. There is a craving inside before. They just got an opportunity.
What is sorry for you?
In order to clarify this even more, let me explain Nicolaitanism in this way. You recall that in Revelation 13:3, it says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Now we know that the wounded head was the pagan Roman Empire, that great political world power. I think we all understand that one by now. This head rose again as the Roman Catholic spiritual empire. I think we understand that one also now. Now watch this carefully. What did political pagan Rome do that was the basis of her success? That's when they were still worshipping idols. She divided and conquered. That was the seed of Rome. Divide and conquer.
Well,
no, there is a saying that says that united we stand, divided we fall. And we used to talk about divide and rule. When you break into people, just like we have different political parties in the country, this group, we look at that group and see somebody influential there. And who that person, since you have been in this party, what did you benefit? With your wisdom, with your influence, with your relevance, with your name, with your importance, you are just there like a figurehead. Come here and let us give you something. So we look at it this way, and come this one. This one gets stronger, that one gets weaker. A iron teeth tore and devoured. Whom she tore and devoured could not rise again, as when she destroyed Carthage and sold her to salt. The same iron seed remained in her when she arose as the first church. And her policy has remained the same. Divide and conquer. That is Nicolaitanism, and God hates it. In some of these, even around the message that are false churches, the people are kept in some bondage with unsubstantiated word. Without no substantiated word, I want to say. personal opinions, personal doctrines, not vindicated in the world, cook up on personal interpretation, yet they still use force to push it to the people, and that's all. Somebody went, someplace went to ask the pastor that, sir, this thing about marry something that you as pastor, you will leave your wife and kine. I can see it in the message like that. The man say, who are you?
Tanya.
Who are you?
Tanya, Tanya.
What did you know? To come and be asking me this question. Everybody has a right to ask questions. When somebody has been teaching for decades, marriage and divorce, grant of separation, grant of remarriage, there are a number of grants of separation, but there is only one grant of remarriage. Well, let me say two grants in a broader way. Death of companion or fornication. When you bring the third one inside, they will ask questions. You have been telling us all the while that this and this is, but this one, this is another one. Who are you? Who are you? No, what do you know? He knows something. He knows something. That he's trying to call the attention of the man of God to. May the Lord be our help. Okay. Our policy has remained the same. Divide and conquer. That is neocolonialism. And God hates it. Now it is a well-known historical fact that when this era crept into the church, men began to vie for the office of bishop, because they now saw that the office is now, you know, that has led to breaking of so many churches in our country. Because the pastor is the bishop of the church. And they saw it as more, whatever. Okay. With the result that this position was being given to the more educated and materially progressive and politically minded men. Human knowledge and program began to take over divine wisdom's place, and the Holy Spirit no longer controlled. This was indeed a tragic evil, for the bishops began to maintain that it no longer required a transparent Christian character to minister either the word all the rights in the church, for it was the elements and the ceremony that counted. This allowed evil men, seducers, to rent the floor. It required Christian character, transparent Christian character, Holy Ghost character, to be a minister, to preach to the bride of Christ. Someone who must be a minister today must have a testimony of complete victory over the world. If not, he will bring reproach. Anyhow you turn it, the minister is influential. It's a place of influence. And it is either you propel Holy Spirit influence, or you propel evil spirits.
Yes, sir.
With the man-made doctrine of the elevation of bishops to a place not accorded them in the scripture, the next step was the handing out of graded titles that built up into a religious hierarchy. For soon, there were archbishops, overbishops, and cardinals over the archbishop. And by the time of Boniface the Third, there was a pope over all, a pontiff. You understand the hierarchy now? Bishop really should be the head of a local church. Then they now have an archbishop who is over a number of churches here. Then on top of him, they have a cardinal that is over many archbishops. On top of the cardinal is a pontiff, pope, over all the cardinals. It's gradually. It started small. It began to spread. Or once you give small room to Satan, say, in my house, I'm not going to give you more than one chair. Only one small chair is what I will give you. And that's all. From that one chair, you find out that his size cannot occupy that one chair. He will put leg to the second one, then second he will occupy the two. From that it will become three. From that it will become four. He will feed the sitting room, move to dining. From there, enter one room, enter another room, enter this room, enter this room, until everywhere will be filled with Satan. The Bible told us to shun the very appearance of evil. His appearance is what we are to shun. Not when he come and settle down. That is why we preach the way we preach. Because we are shunning the very appearance of evil. Because evil spirit is fast contagious. It spreads very fast. It will eat up the place. Yeah. Until the place will become conquered. But Abraham said, if you allow malice and gossip and the rest of it, he said the church is going to come to a spot that will be so cold that you need chisel and hammer to break the door. If you close that church, so worldliness, you are not going to romance with it. Wherever it is found, we go hack it to pieces. The way Samuel hack Agag. Yes, the king of Amalek. That's how we go hack it. When we see any worldliness, we go hack it. Yes. But once Satan enters small, he will spread it. Sometimes we might see some small evil spirits. We just try to keep the surrounding clean. As they do in the Old Testament. Say somebody have leprosy.
You can let it.
You separate the person. So that I don't say become contagious. If it is found on a building, they have to empty the house. They will empty the house. The people will leave the place. Then there's a way the priest will come and scrape the something and look at it for 7 days. Come back and look at it, whether it is getting it or spreading. There's another. If they discover the thing is not green, they will pull down the house. That is scripture I'm telling you so. That's the way Satan is handled. Not with ecclesiastical gloves, but bare-handed. Yes. But it's a terrible guy. Terrible guy. Let me see this small paragraph. Let's quickly add to it before we close. With the Constantine doctrine, what with the Constantine doctrine and the amalgamation of Christianity with Babylonianism, the net results are to be what Ezekiel saw in chapter 8 verse 10. So I went in and saw, and behold every form of creepy things, and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall around. And then Revelation 18:2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is falling, and become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul bear, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bear. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of our fornications. Amen. You know, we read it earlier. Where we read of how the seat of Satan moved from Babylon to Pergamos. And from Pergamos, he moved again, not to Babylon, but to Mystery Babylon. And this Mystery Babylon, the time won't be sufficient for us now to quickly puncture it. But next time, God willing, we'll talk about it. See, we will not go too much into details because we preach. Why are we not a denomination? Why am I against organized religion? And so few sermons on this. But we just want to see, the prophet gave some things of it here, which we that know it before, we already saw it very clearly. Yes. That is the Vatican now. Is sitting on 7 feet. The city on 7 feet. That's what the prophet said here. Like Mystery Babylon, we call it. It's not on map as Babylon or Mystery Babylon. But it was a revelation that God gave to John that wrote the book of Revelation, which he put in symbols, which if you take somebody that will have the gift of wisdom like Daniel to interpret. And by the grace of God, the prophet interpreted and everything fit in perfectly. And look at what he had been saying in the early 60s, manifesting now, how many years after? It's more than over 60 years now. Over 60 years. What he has said very clear and plain. Even some of the sermon he preached in the 50s, he has already been pointing to it. But it was not plain on some things until he preached the series that he mentioned the title direct. And today we have to mention the title direct when we are preaching in our church. For outside evangelism, we will not mention the title like that there. We just do general evangelism. Love the Lord. No, don't worship idol. The one that created heaven and earth is the one that is worthy to be served. No, he hates sin, unrighteousness, unholiness. And then we just encourage them with things like that. Anyone that have a seed of God in them, the few things they hear will cause an attraction. When they want to know more, then they will come and see them. Then we will tell them more. The Lord bless you. The prophet said that this message is too rich for denominations. That will cause them stomach upset. You preach this one in any denomination, that church will scatter that day. The prophet says it's not their food. There is only one God, one faith, one baptism. Only one. There is only one way that we can serve God acceptably today according to His word. If you don't serve God like that, He will not take your service. He won't take. Cain tried his own way. God rejected it. When God rejected it, He gave him a second option. But in his anger, he was not ready for that. And when you hear God's word, if it doesn't help you to make a decision to serve God better in the right way, anger will come inside of you. Root of bitterness will come inside of you. And then what will be happening to you is that that church, they think that they are the only one going to heaven. Only than that attitude. Their own is too much. Are you telling me that we entered the deep compound yesterday because that's why the something happened. That's the first time we entered that place. It's a city on its own. All the roads are tarred. When we pass by their major auditorium, it's like from here to Lugun Eru. Very long. Somebody was saying that it's also so programmed that there is open field, they are very big. At the end of the program, that condom was plenty there. Is condom used for services? May God be our head. When I go to the river, attending of thee, oh, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there be sorrow.
the way, yes, you show me the way. Oh, I'm tired to cross Jordan. Jordan, I'm tired to cross Jordan. I know Jesus died. Yes, he'll be waiting for me. Oh, I'm tired to cross the road. Oh, oftentimes I'm forsaken, I'm weary as I stand. Oh, when he sees I'm my friend. To declare unto you your counsel of God. As we are last week, you are free moral agent. You can choose to believe it. You can choose not to believe it. A day is coming. Where there is coming a final separation. But remember, everything you have had will be played back to your ears. In this our age, the secret of the devil was made known plain. Everything hidden about him was exposed. But that is only for the elect.
It may interest you to know that there are people that have had these things that was not clear unto them perhaps, and left from here, went to denominations and settled there like Lot. So when they have become ministers, so when they have become officers, so when they have become members, and believing they are serving God, but they have had some of these things before. But like Brother Paul said, it was not means with faith in them that had it. And because of these things, with many of them, God was not well pleased. Jesus preached on the mountain and told the people, he that heareth these things and doeth them, I will show you who is like. He's like a man that built his house on the rock. And when the rain came and the storm beat upon the house, he stood firm because it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth them and dwell them not, say, I will liken to a foolish man that build his house on sand. And when the rain fell and the floods came and beat upon the house, it fell, and great was the fall of it. If you hear these things and you repel them, you will never have the revelation of it, and it will not be effective in your life. It's only those that hear, that believe, that accept, and is looking unto God for mercy, they are the one that will get the revelation of it, and the ability will be given unto, as was said in the 4th chapter of John, to become sons and daughters of God. Philip was going one day, met a eunuch riding in his chariot. The Spirit bade him to join himself to the chariot. And the eunuch asked the eunuch, you understand what you read? Say, how can I? Except somebody will explain to him. And expanded the scripture unto him to prove that the man is a seed of God, to prove that he understood what he had. When they come to water, having had a water baptism, because he believed sincerely, he said, here is water. What hindered me from being baptized? Rapport said, if you believe with all your heart, why not? Said, I believe with all my heart. What all that you have said is the truth. I believe with all my heart. And there then he was baptized. And after the water baptism, his spirit took Philip away to another place. Not because he was looking for transportation, it was the spirit that bade him. So when you are privileged to hear the truth, it's his spirit telling you what you need to know, telling you the steps that you want to need to take. The decision is in your hand. May the Lord be our help, that on that day, none of us will reap a check of damnation. While our heads are bowed, some are at the altar, some on their feet. I don't know if somebody would like to remember the prayer. As I ask the pastor to pray.
Holy and righteous Heavenly Father, you are the only one that is holy. You are the only one that is righteous. And that is applicable unto who you impart it unto. We are grateful. We are so thankful unto thee for this age that we have found ourselves. We did not make up our minds to come here. You brought us here. Lord Jesus, we thank you that in the midst of so many people claiming to be one thing or the other, it pleased you, O God, to reveal to us the man that you have sent all to us. By the vindication of his ministry, he could not be compared. There's no one that could compare with him. We are very thankful unto you, Lord Jesus, for a man to see such vindications as he doubt the teachings of such a man is not the best. Take away doubt from our hearts. Take away all belief from our hearts. Take away a careless attitude from our hearts. Anything that is associated with Satan, may you take it away from our hearts, Lord. Let your word have a preeminence in our lives, in the name of Jesus Christ. Wash us truly by the washing of water by the word, and thereby make us ready for the rapture. The prophet said, it is in this message that lays the rapturing faith. May we be partakers of this rapturing faith, in the name of Jesus Christ. Both the one on the altar and those outside, everywhere, O God, whatever the needs might be, we have all heard your word, close to 2 hours or more, that we have been listening, O God, that this message has been echoed unto us, after which needs begin to arise in our hearts, whatsoever those needs might be. We look at one another as mortal, but you are God. You know the thoughts and the intents of the heart of everyone. Whatsoever those needs might be, whatsoever those requests might be, whatsoever those desires might be, Heavenly Father, you say, if we ask, we shall receive. You say, if they ask, they receive it. They are asking, may they receive, Lord. We are looking unto you, O eternal Father, God, to meet us at the very point of our needs as individuals. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Bless your word into our souls that we have heard. Let it not be that this word that we have heard will stand a witness against any of us on the day of judgment. Let it prepare us and make us ready for the rapture. Thank you, Master. Blessed be thy name, Lord. Replenish your servant that you have used. Lift all the honor of his ministry and that of others. Take all the glory for granting this petition. Let the blessings ever remain ours, Lord. In Jesus' most holy name, we pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you. At 2 o'clock, there we sit for the last service of the day. And trust that the Lord will bless us for it. Brother Samson Wanje, he called yesterday evening to ask if we have arrived. I said yes, and he said I should greet the church. And it was inside the preaching. I'm almost forgetting now that Mazakios is around. That's the mother of Sister. God bless you, man. God bless you, man. Okay. She will rise.
You have the draw.
Come to the Savior. Make no delay. 497. Come to the Savior, make no delay.